So I'm getting the thumbs up on the music choice there from Ali Al Saloom. Yes, and Samineh Shaheen, we are talking about diversity and the impact on the Emirati culture. Yes, expatriates, all the different nationalities, all what we bring to this wonderful country. The positives and the negatives. And when we're looking at preserving the Emirati culture, is it that their sense of identity may be rocked? Is it when we look at family values? Is that being challenged in any way? They're the sort of discussions we're going to be having in the next hour. And anybody that texts in today with their questions, Ali's here to answer as you ask Ali. But also if you've got any opinions as well, we'd love to hear from you. And if you want a preview of the music of Eagles bringing their 40-year back catalogue to the UAE, to the Middle East for the very first time, then you can go online to Eagles Dubai. com. Now, Ali, lots of messages are coming in, so let's have a look at those. Here, with regards to the environment, again, now Ali is an environmental ambassador raising awareness for the Abu Dhabi Environmental Agency. And here, the UAE needs to start a program to segregate rubbish, like they do in other countries, where you get either bins or the right kind of bags that you can have at your home. So we are separating all the recycling rubbish and going to the right place. What do you think about that?
I think already it's already implemented in many different parts of the cities in the country. But I think people always have to remember when we speak about initiatives, each emirate actually has its own initiative. So, which is kind of, I know it sounds a bit kind of, yes, we are one country, but again, each emirate has its own uniqueness. So in Dubai, definitely we have such a thing. In most of the complexes in the country, they basically implement such a strategy. Where I am in JBR, they actually had this in the beginning, and I don't know now if they still have it or it's somewhere else. Also in Abu Dhabi, there's at the Abu Dhabi National Exhibition Center, they actually have it divides every single, plastic, paper, and so on.
Yeah, I think what he's suggesting is that you would have them at your home, so you would have bags and
yeah,
bins.
So the neighborhood, it didn't reach yet, but like in major organization, it is. In certain venues, it did. But in like real neighborhoods, like in the normal neighborhoods that we have in the country, it's still taking some time. And I think the reason behind it is because we still don't have the full capabilities for every single thing to be recycled, like batteries and so on and so on. If you throw them, then, to divide all of that will also go through a lot of process to get to that point. So I think again, it's a new process. It's a new culture that is being introduced today in the country. People are already being aware that there is things to be concerned about when you are actually building your home in Abu Dhabi. There is actually a program. It's called Istidama, which means sustainability through the UPC, Urban Planning Council in Abu Dhabi, which actually requires every single new home to be built in the Emirate of Abu Dhabi is to actually build a garbage room specifically for it on the front of the house, somewhere on the right or on the left, for example. So this is a new thing. Back in the days, we just take the garbage, throw it at the middle
the skip
that we have outside, and that's about it. And then the cats comes and so on and so on. Today we have a new thing, which is you have to put it in a certain room, and then in that room you can of course divide it and so on. So I think the initiative is coming very soon.
Alan's asking, do you think it would be a good idea to have some kind of cultural awareness video played at the airports on flights to educate visitors to the UAE? Well, it's funny you should say that, Alan.
It's my dream. It's my dream. I hope that anybody who's listening, please do this idea. I can help you with it. Everybody can, get involved. I think it's an amazing thing. And it's my dream to actually have the first thing that every single expat or every single traveler and guest that comes to our country is that the first thing they meet is an Emirati who welcomes them and then gives them some tips on, the way how to communicate, a few Arabic words and so on. So I've done my bits a little bit, my own initiatives, and I'm so, grateful for the great opportunities I keep having along with Etihad Airways for actually giving me the opportunity to have my shows on their own programs. And the first thing I did was welcome to Abu Dhabi with Ask Ali on Etihad Airways, and then that would been really successful program. People can watch it still on their own flight. Also, I've done the environment show with Ask Ali. It's also now available on Etihad programs. I hope that the rest of the airlines in the country really follow these steps, and inshallah very soon we can have more of these videos available.
And a question here from Chanel, who's saying, why do all Emirati men shave their beards in a very distinctive way? Is it fashionable?
It's got to look good. You know, it's got to look good. Well, I think, you know, I even have on YouTube, I have a whole I have a whole episode on how we get our own, how are we well kept, whether it's from the Kandura or the Gutra, the headgear, or the facial hair. So, yeah, I mean, see, we do prefer having, mainly, you see people here with facial hair, definitely, you see the beard on. But since we now have the chance to actually trim it in a nicer way and to make it nice, then definitely this is an Emirati style. You have to do it really good at everything we do. So when it comes to your look, you gotta look very nice, very clean, and so on. So when we go to these barbers and they start, you know, giving us the special haircut and to trim our beard, they like to be also like artistic. So we have the dagger style on the sides of the chin, for example, or your neck. You have to trim it number one and number two, so it's shorter hair than it's longer hair. You know, since we are also a hairy community in a way, I mean hairy in a good way. I don't know how that comes across, but you know, we have sometimes the mustache comes a bit close to the nose, so we kind of clip it, or you know, take it with the razor or so. And so we just love to make it nice and make it look good. So that's
there's a whole art behind it.
Yes,
huh?
And there's an art behind it, and a lot of our own you know, barbers who come from different nationalities started mastering this, and we cannot live without them. I mean, we have them, but I have to be very, very, you know, clear. I actually do it for myself. Like I just design it at home, and every month I'll go once, so they can just give me the proper way, and then I just keep going
keep
and just
it
keep it up until certain, you know, for a few weeks or so.
Someone here is suggesting that Arabic language lessons should be compulsory in all international schools to the age of 16 and in exams, so example GCSE levels in the British curriculum. So they're suggesting that all the expatriates, you know, for students, for children at school, they should be learning Arabic.
I got to ask that person, did you read my tweet 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, I put one of my demands as a person, is that I cannot wait for the day that Arabic language courses is provided for free, complimentary, from our own governments in the whole region. It's a dream of mine to actually have Arabic language available
for
everybody.
So you mean outside of schools?
Absolutely. It has to be available for everybody. Now, I don't know if anybody will listen, but I can't remember how many retweets it got, because many people want that. So in terms of school, 100%, I actually think that they do. In school, they do offer
they
Arabic.
They do, yes.
Yes, courses,
they do.
Yeah, they do, but I don't know if they have to put it compulsory.
I think there are options. 16. In some schools, there are options. Yeah. It's not compulsory. In other schools, they may not offer it. Mm. Yeah.
And you might not have to do an exam in it, mm-hmm. but it's there, certainly, I think, for the
You see, most of the
junior.
Nations around the world, when they started having their own language to be something that is mandatory for everybody to speak, is because they offer nationalities. So if you're traveling as an immigrant all the way to Germany and you live there for a while, then you basically have to go through a test to test your own German language. If you go to Canada, you got to speak English and French in order for you to become a Canadian, as I believe. So there's that kind of factor. Today, the demands of the Arabic language to us as in people will be nothing but just to say, wow, cool, you're cool, you know Arabic. But it's not because we want to deal with you. And that's I think it's because of our own usage of the English language, which happens in almost everything.
Now, when we look at the impact on diversity on the Emirati culture, an impact on perhaps all of us, one could say, has been the internet and technology. When we come back, we'll be looking at Ali's book, Internetism, How to Create Wealth in the Internet Economy. And whilst we find out about that, we'll learn a little bit more about Ali's development and growth here as his brand becomes bigger and bigger.